It is my pleasure to introduce our chapel speaker today, Professor Vladimir Pickman. Vladimir is the founding executive director of Beit Shar Shalom, the largest Messianic Jewish ministry in Germany, and rabbi of the Messianic Congregation in Berlin. Both are associated with Chosen People Ministries. He was the founding president of the German Messianic Jewish Alliance and is the vice president of the International Messianic Jewish Alliance. Vladimir also serves as an adjunct faculty member here at DTS and teaches various courses in the area of Messianic ministries and Jewish evangelism. He also directs and leads many initiatives regarding Jewish studies here on our campus, such as strategic brown bags, Seder dinners, and general engagement on Jewish-related themes. And if you have paid attention over the last couple of years and looked at the topics that are addressed in those brown bags, I told him he needs to go into marketing. I mean, you see some of those that are listed even on the flyer that you have today. Very intriguing topics for all of us. Vladimir is a THM graduate from DTS and is in the final stages of completing his dissertation at a university in Germany, and I know he would appreciate your prayers as he rounds the final bend on that particular project. Following Jesus for 27 years, he has ministered internationally, reaching out to the Jewish people, teaching, equipping new ministries, and starting new Messianic ministries and congregations in several European countries. With his wife, Ina, they have two adult daughters, Elizabeth and Rose. Would you please join me in welcoming Professor Pickman to chapel today?
Well, thank you. I hope everything is going to work well with the technique. So, shalom. You know this word, even if you haven't taken any Hebrew yet. A couple years ago, I was standing in front of one picture in a very important museum. I'm not going to mention the name. And the picture painting was done by a very famous painter. It was a very expensive picture. And it was picturing Mary and Elizabeth, with Jesus and with John. You know the biblical story, right? What struck me, they were like little children, sort of like babies, but about like at least 6 months old, because they were sitting already. I have two daughters, so I approximately could estimate when what happens. Anyway, I looked at that picture and boss, Not Mary and Elizabeth, but Jesus and John, they were naked. And I was looking at this picture as a believer, the one who reads the Bible and knows the story. And something was wrong on this picture. Don't expect me to put this picture on the PowerPoint. There is no screen for that. It would be my last chapel here, I assume. But just use your biblical imagination. You know what was wrong. Both of them were not circumcised. As a Jew, I would say, that's okay. Jesus is a Catholic anyway. Why do I know that he is Catholic? Because his mother is found in Catholic homes. Mother is Catholic, son is not Jewish by far. And John is the Baptist anyway. So, for me as a Jew, it was all fine. But I read the Bible. I was already a Messianic believer at that time. Well, I will come back to this picture probably briefly later. Are you not happy that I'm not putting that on screen? Anyway, however, years ago, as I was coming to Dallas Theological Seminary to study here, a very significant reason for me to study was Most of my mentors and people I respected, even Jewish believers and theologians, that played a very important role in my spiritual maturity as I became a believer and then started ministry and became a leader in the Messianic movement, they were related to DTS somehow. They were DTS grads. And there was one Jewish believer who told me, as I mentioned that I'm going to study at Dallas Theological Seminary, he said, "You are going to study from legends. But," he said, "don't let them suck your Jewish soul out." I was young and I had much chutzpah. I said, "No way anybody could ever suck my Jewish soul out. I'm very strong in my identity." Well, nobody even tried. At first, I was just like careful. You know, at that time, beard was not very common on campus yet. And kippah, what they call in Yiddish yarmulke, I was probably the first to wear here all the time. Besides, like first orientation lunch, there was sandwich. I couldn't eat it. It was ham. Good, juicy, never tried by me ham. Somebody brought me a vegetarian then. I was trying to celebrate Shabbat with my family on Friday night in Swiss Towers, and I realized, well, no candles first. I could comply with that, but then no wine. What should I bless then as a Jew? Well, I was applying to the Dean of Students office for special permission to use wine for liturgical purposes. And then we were celebrating Shabbat secretly. Just we got the permission to use wine, but we couldn't invite anybody. So like, no, I'm just exaggerating a little. However, I survived DTS and I fell in love with DTS. Because DTS for me was the most pro-Israel and pro-Jewish academic school I experienced in my entire life. And it's so natural for DTS. And now we're talking about Jewish studies here at DTS. And I would say, wow, I could not dream about that like 15 years ago or 20 years ago. But it's so normal for DTS, I would say. But now let's talk about a little bit about why. So let's talk about Jewish people a little. Jewish people are, first, Jewish people are a tiny minority. Let's look at some chart. But first, let's compare the population. 7.7 billion people live on Earth today. And the official number of Jewish people is even not reaching 15 million. It makes Jewish people less than 0.2% of the world population. Oops. Look at this chart. Can you see Jewish there in comparison? I can see a little bit. Now, talking of Israel. Now, let's compare the state of Israel geographically with the rest of the countries. It's like 134, almost 35 million square kilometers, excluding without Antarctica. And Israel, if we take into consideration West Bank, Gaza, Golan Heights, is about like 28,000 square kilometers. It makes Israel smaller than 0.02% of the rest of the world. Look at the chart. Can you see Israel there? Almost nothing. Do you remember this shtick with the map? Try to find Israel. There are many different countries, but where is Israel? Always challenging. Well, Jewish people are a very tiny minority. And Israel is very little of significance. But let's look even at your neighborhood. Besides living in some neighborhoods like Brooklyn in New York or like North Dallas in some areas, you barely know any Jewish neighbor. So if you have one or two, it's already like almost like bordering miracles. So it's like minority of minorities, Jewish people. Is it the whole picture? If yes, why to care? Why to care about Jewish people and why to care about Jewish studies here at Dallas Theological Seminary? What's the point of all this? Considering the population and territory, it does not make sense to pay much attention to Jewish studies and to Jewish people, either talking culture, talking about culture, theology, or even world missions. From this standpoint, I should have inferiority complex to be part of World Missions and Intercultural Studies Department while representing outreach to such a small minority. Sometimes I do. Anyway, not because of the professors of the department. They are great guys. They love me. I hope they love Jewish people through me, but anyway, or just directly, I don't. But just I feel at home at World Missions Department. But at the same time, logically, when I consider that all, what am I doing there? Anyway, Jewish people are people with a great significance. Let's look at Jewish people from another standpoint. They are people with a great significance for the world. Jewish people are very small, but with high percentage of those who impacted the humankind throughout the history. Jewish people are very small and dispersed everywhere, but they get so much attention, particularly by anti-Semites, even in countries with super small, almost non-existent Jewish population. The state of Israel is extremely small, but makes news headlines worldwide daily and radically impacts world politics. You know that it's right. Judaism is considered a religion different from Christianity, but the issue of Israel and Jewish people populates theological discussions of different Christian denominations all the time. Just go to any theological symposium and you will find Israel there, or Jewish people, in some contexts. Now, to even more important, Jewish people are people with a great significance for God. I believe God is involved in the human history. The role that Jewish people play in history and at the present demonstrates a special dealing of God with these people and emphasizes their role in his plan. The people seem to be very significant. It is true because they are tremendously significant for God. It is very natural, actually, for God. The God that Christians believe in calls himself the God of Israel. He has loved Jewish people from the very beginning. He has never changed his attitude to Israel. Let's read some passages, because we're at DTS, and it's important to read some passages from the scripture, right? And I love reading passages, especially this. So in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, we find the following reason for Israel's obedience, or for Israel to be obedient. Behold, the Lord your God belong heaven and the highest heavens, the earth and all that is in it. Yet on your fathers did the Lord set his affection to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, even you above all peoples, as it is this day. To the generation of those dispersed for Israel's disobedience, it is written in Isaiah chapter 41, verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 41, verses 8 and 9. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, descendant of Abraham, my friend, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its remotest parts and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not rejected you. After Jesus' death and resurrection, so let's say in the present dispensation, the Apostle Paul writes about Jewish people in Romans 11:11. I say then, they did not stumble so as to fall, did they? May it never be. But by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous. And in Romans 11, verses 28 and 29, he writes, from the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. I'm sure you know these passages. And if you consider these passages as applied to the real Jewish people, I mean, to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it will put everything in place. So, do you need more passages for Jewish significance or the significance of Jewish studies? Read the Bible. There is no one book in the Bible without Jewish people and God's plan with them. There is almost no page in the Bible, even like on a scroll move, without something related to the Jewish people. Because these people are very important for God. God is faithful to this tiny minority that happens to be his chosen people. The vocation and calling of Jewish people are still intact. The past, the present, and the future of Israel is part of God's plan. Now, more tricky thing. Jewish people are of great significance for Christianity. I don't have much time to deal with that, but just briefly mentioned. Jesus is Jewish, right? Even after his resurrection, because he's coming back as the lion from the tribe of Judah, the Jewish king, the king of the Jews. So simple it is. The apostles are Jewish. I think nobody would deny that, not at DTS. The New Testament is the bestseller of Jewish literature. That's a little bit more tricky, but just chew this idea for a while and argue with me if you think differently. The Messianic kingdom is Jewish. And you're at DTS, so we know that. The roots of Christian theology are Jewish. The first Christians were a Jewish sect. And I can go on and go on because there are many more things. So, Jewish people is a tiny minority that is very important and significant for Christianity. Now, even more interesting, Jewish people, people with a great significance for DTS. I would say it's a part of DTS legacy. Now, just let me address something from DTS doctrinal statement for the faculty. I don't know how many of you read this, but the faculty required to read it sometimes every like 10 years. I'm just kidding. It's written in Article 20 about the second coming of Christ. We believe that the period of great tribulation in the earth will be climaxed by the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth as he went, in person on the clouds of heaven, and with power and great glory to introduce the millennial age, to bind Satan and place him in the abyss, to lift the curse which now rests upon the whole creation, to restore Israel to her own land, and to give her the realization of God's covenant promises, and to bring the whole world to the knowledge of God. Amen. Dispensationalism, pre-tribulational rapture is not possible without understanding the role and the significance of God's dealing with the Jewish people. Without belief in the restoration of the Jewish people as a nation in this little tiny land that, according to my biblical understanding, will be slightly bigger at that time, according to the promise given to Abraham. Now, I'm citing Dwight Pentecost, The Kingdom to Come. It is evident that God does not view Israel's covenants as having been canceled, not her kingdom hopes abandoned, but only postponed until a future generation to whom the good news of the kingdom is proclaimed will be brought to faith and repentance. The Lord Jesus himself will then assume David's scepter and mount David's throne and reign in the covenanted kingdom. So it's part of legacy. But now let me go to the very beginning, to the first president of Dallas Theological Seminary, to Lewis Sperry Chafer, and to his book, Systematic Theology. I quote, "An elect, sacred, and everlasting nation is the plan or purpose of God for Israel. This people came into being miraculously as the seed of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob. They are the object of immeasurable covenants and promises, and this becomes their major identification or destination. For the covenants are secured or sealed by the act of God. Israel stands alone in distinction from all other nations combined. Those many nations are known as Gentiles, but Israelites as Jews. Individual Jews are such because of the fact that they were born into covenant relations with God by a physical birth. Because Israel sustains a covenant relationship to God, he gave them a specific rule of life through Moses. Keeping the rule of life, however, did not and could not make them children of God's covenant. They were to keep the rule of life, because they were already in the covenant." You know, when I read these words of the first president of Dallas Theological Seminary, I'm proud to affiliate myself as a Jew with this school, and as a theologian as well. Among distinctives of Dallas Theological Seminary, it's written on the website, "The doctrines of evangelical orthodoxy are taught in the framework of premillennial dispensational theology, derived from a consistent grammatical historical interpretation of the Bible. Bible exegesis calls for Jewish background." Dispensationalism is probably one of the most friendly Christian theologies regarding Jewish people and Israel. I'm glad to be defender of dispensationalism to the messianic movement and among Jewish believers. So, another distinction is strong commitment to world missions. Should I quote you Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the gospel is the power of God for salvation for everybody who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Jewish people are a tiny minority with a great significance for the world, for God, for Christianity, and I'm sorry there is a mistake, for DTS. Therefore, DTS desperately needs Jewish studies, especially approaching 100 years of its existence. I would say Jewish studies at DTS should exist to glorify God by studying, teaching, and communicating God's love and plan for Israel, for the sake of salvation of Jewish people and all nations. Now, what can you do? Support the Jewish studies here at Dallas Theological Seminary. How? Get involved. Talk to me. There are multiple ways to be involved. Attend the events. You have this invitation. Participate actively and invite others to be there. Today it's Interfaith Family, a Jewish Nightmare? Maybe it's not relevant for you personally, but you will learn a lot by interacting there. Participate in these brown bags. Put them on your calendar. It's a good meal. I mean, brown baggish type of meal. But no pork, normally, if somebody doesn't make a mistake. So bring your pork with you if you are driven by, by this. I don't mind. And also, take note of this Passover Seder here at DTS that we are going to perform together with Dr. Mark Yarborough. And just participate in these events and also promote them. Give your feedback, questions, and ideas. Your ideas are very welcome because these brown bags are made based upon the requests, questions, and ideas of the students like you. Now, coming back to the picture of that famous painter from a number of hundred years ago, who was evidently Christian. There was something wrong on this picture. And DTS, we need to make the things theologically right. If we don't do that, who will? And let me finish with another quotation from Louis Sperry Chafer, Systematic Theology, the first president of the Dallas Theological Seminary. I quote, "In a manner and to an extent quite impossible of comprehension, by the finite mind, Israel is appointed to glorify God. This truth must not be slighted. God speaks of the elect nation as Israel, my glory. And indeed, He has chosen that nation above all nations for His glory. He loves them with an everlasting love. When the Christian loves with a divine compassion, he will acknowledge what God loves. Therefore, he too must love Israel." A tiny minority with a great significance. And it is my case for Jewish studies at Dallas Theological Seminary. Thank you.